Great. Everything all right? Okay. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, and Cody's going to come read 41 through 47.
Acts chapter 2. Let's stand. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. We will read responsibly. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in their apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had needed. And they were congregated with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread house to house, did eat the meat with gladness and praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, so much that you've done, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the preaching tonight, Lord, and just help it to speak to our hearts, Lord, and just again, thank you, Lord, for everything that you did today, Lord, seeing the two souls saved. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This may be a short message, but I kind of tonight think I want to kind of give a pastoral chat. If you're looking for something bombastic, this probably isn't the night, and who knows? Who knows? You just never know as well. But I want to kind of give a pastoral chat. You know, every January, you see our president of the United States get up and give kind of a State of the Union address. And probably tonight, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the state of our church. You know, I guess you could look at it, and it's not necessary to brag on it, but it's just the state of our church and really just kind of zooming in on what God has done. I just got thinking, and some of this will be repetitive illustrations a little bit, but I just got thinking this week, and just jotting. I don't know if that's a good thing, you know, the preacher thinking, and then you just jotting things. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, but just want to talk to you a little while about our church. Yeah, I got reflecting the past 3 years or 2 years, and now I'm going on my third. My family and I are going on our third, and I want to just start out by saying this, listening to testimonies and so, and I was going to go ahead and give a testimony, but basically tonight I'm testifying a little bit. It certainly is my privilege to pastor this church. It has been awesome to be able to privilege a people like you, and I love this church so very much. My family and I love you so very much, and I don't know where I'd be without you. I mean that. I really don't know where I'd be without you. You've been so good and gracious to us. I got thinking, I just got to go back to a couple years ago when I was in my comfort zone, if you will, in the state of Maine, where I grew up. And, of course, many years ago, my search for the pastorate began, and then I kind of put it on hold, or it was put on hold, I think, by God when cancer came in 2006 to our family. My wife, of course, had breast cancer and so forth, and praise the Lord, 3 years and running. Amen, Mrs. Weeks, is that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate all the prayers, and much prayer went out, of course, I know, during that time, and people still pray. And I got to talk to Dr. John Jenkins the other night. He'd never met my wife. And I said, honey, I got to take you to this conference. I said, you know, I go to this conference every year, but you got to go with me this year because Brother Jenkins is dying to meet you. And, you know, he reached out and grabbed my wife's hand and said, lady, we've been praying for you. You know, and that was one of the many churches, and he was just excited, along with many others, to see how God has healed her and so forth. But I just got reflecting a little bit. My search for the pastorate started, oh man, probably 6 or 8 years ago anyways. Talked to my home preacher, got some advice, and then it was put on hold during the cancer period. And to be honest, I thought, you know, I'm fine, God, right where I'm at. I stopped looking. I didn't know, you know, of course, I had my resumes out to Hiles Aronson and so forth, and, you know, every time they went through 10, they'd ask for another 10, and, you know, I just said, you know, I'm not going to send any more. They did call and say, well, I said, right now, I'm just going to hold off a little bit and whatever, and they said they had one. I forgot about this, and that one wound up here. That one That last one. I didn't think at that time Hiles Aronson had any more because time had gone by, but that one wound up here. October 7th, I know I'm reiterating a little bit, October of 07, I should say, it came in, you know, the packet of Faith Baptist Church came in the mail. And when I opened that mailbox, I'll just never forget, when I opened that mailbox, it was like, boy, the Holy Spirit just struck my heart. I mean, I didn't even, you know, it said Faith from Faith Baptist Church to Sean, Pastor Sean Weeks, da-da-da-da. It was like the Holy Spirit just struck my heart. And I said, you know, I didn't even open it yet. I went up to the table, the house there, and I only went home for just a few minutes. I was changing for a track run. I was going to be driving a bus for our Christian school track league and so forth. And I only went home for just to get the mail, get changed, and said, I'll look at it later. But the Holy Spirit said, open it. I said, all right, okay, I'll open it. And I looked at it. And boy, the more I looked at it, I said, the Holy Spirit said, this is it. I said, nah, it's not it. It's not it. Sure enough, I go back to church the same day after I get changed, going, Brother Joe had called our secretary at the church. And I didn't bother to go in my office. I went out back to get the bus, get it ready and so forth. And Miss Crane, you know, the office secretary comes out, Pastor Weeks, some Brother Joe LaRosa just called you, wants you to call immediately. I said, what in the world? You know, I was like, I can't believe this, you know. And I said, well, I'll just take the call and call him later, okay? I was busy and so forth. And you know, time went on. And yes, Brother Joe, I ignored a few of your calls. And, you know, and he remembers that. I wish this guy would call, but he was persistent. And then, of course, in December, of course, we had a chat on the phone and so forth and different things, set up a date to come down, candidate. And in December, we came, December 10th or 9th, I think it was, something like that, brought our family down. And the next Wednesday night, you voted. So you called me as pastor. So what you got me. Amen? All right, moving right along. But and I accepted the call, and it's been the greatest day of my life. So tonight, you know, looking back at the last few years, I might get a little emotional here because I'm really excited. My heart is just overwhelmed at what God has done. And I'm just so thrilled about what God is doing and so forth. But I know we made the right decision. I still say we made the right decision. I know that many more great things are going to happen here at Faith Baptist Church. And I encourage you often, how often I say, you roll up your sleeves and get busy and just stay involved, and, you know, and don't miss out. Don't miss out on anything. You know, and I've heard, you know, even before I moved here, people would say, you know, going to Massachusetts, that's a tough country. Maine's just as tough a country. Indiana's just a tough country. The devil's working overtime in every state, doesn't matter where you are. And I said, everything's okay. You know, I've heard the stories, and, you know, I've even heard the stories, well, I don't know, Faith Baptist Church going to go ahead and make it. Everything's just fine here, amen? You know, everything's just fine. Those of you who've been around a little while, you know everything's just fine. Sure, through the years, you've had the ups and downs. In the last couple of years, we've had our ups and downs, amen? But God has been so good, and so many great things has happened. And I'm just, every time someone says, well, I don't think it can be done, every time someone might want to say, have a little negative comment and so forth, I'm always reminded of Matthew 16, 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As long as Christ is always at the helm of Faith Baptist Church, there is not a negative comment that will shut down this work. There's not a negative attitude, there's not an enemy, there's not a foe that can shut down the work of Christ. You know why? Because he's all-powerful. Amen? He purchased a work with his blood. He decides whether it will cease or not cease. And as far as I'm concerned, it ceases when the rapture happens. Amen? Let the critics speak. Let people go ahead and yap. Let people go ahead and say things. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We'll face struggles, and we're going to face some heartaches through the years to come. We've had our ups and downs. We'll face some opposition, but the gates of hell will not win. We're just going to keep on going till Jesus comes. Amen. We're going to keep on preaching till Jesus comes. We're going to keep on soul winning till Jesus comes. We're going to keep on running buses till Jesus comes. We're going to keep on teaching Sunday school till Jesus comes. We're going to keep on running a nursery till Jesus comes. We're going to keep on reaching out to teens till Jesus comes. And on and on and on. We're just going to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Book of Acts, wonderful book. Teaches us how to literally run a church. And we are a New Testament Baptist church, and it teaches us how we ought to run a church. And I'm glad that we have the book of Acts to go by. And I'm glad that we're that soul winning is the backbone of this church. I'm glad that the preaching is still strong here at Faith Baptist Church and vibrant. And it may not always be good, but it is strong and vibrant. We're going to keep on preaching the old King James Bible. And I thank God for what God has done with this place in the last couple years. I think, you know, and let me just say this, to be fair, you go back to, some of you can go back to the very day it started. And you can say, boy, God's been good, can't you? You can definitely say that God has really been good. And you know what, and he's kept this place secure and safe. And reflecting back, and a little, again, I'm just kind of chatting with you tonight. Reflecting back on what we've experienced. You know what, we've experienced the grace of God these last few years. All through the years, if you will. We've seen souls saved, not as many as we would like, but we've seen souls saved. Praise God for every precious soul, every child, every teenager, every adult that's been saved so far. Thank God for that. Well, you know what? And by the way, we all have a part of that. We all have a part in that. We've experienced his grace. We've seen people baptized. Again, not as many as we should or could and as many as we should be baptizing, but we have seen the fulfilling of the Great Commission, and we're going to see more of it this year to come. We've experienced growth. We saw our church grow. It was, I'll admit, it kind of took me by surprise, some of the jumps that we took. I just was not ready for it. You know, I thought, you know, gradually it's going to do this and so forth. Brother Howes used to teach, and it has. Brother Howes used to teach that church growth goes like this and then this and, you know, just ups and downs and different things. But you keep on going upward. We've experienced growth. Not just numerically, may I remind you. It's not just numerical, but it is spiritual. Boy, you know, it just blesses my heart to see you, God's people, how you have come these last several years. How far you have gone. It just excites me. It blesses my gizzard, if you will. I'm just excited about the growth in you. I'm excited about the growth in me. I'm excited about the growth of this church. I'm excited for every new member that's been added. I'm excited about every class that's been started. Boy, when we came, it was 6 classes. Now we have 10. Well, it's awesome. It's awesome when you go down, especially on a day like today. And boy, you know, some of them classes are packed out. Amen, Miss Beth? It was incredible. I went out back there and go, you know, she says, I still need more chairs. I still need more chairs. She had quite a crew back there. Praise the Lord. Only 5th and 6th graders. 5th and 6th grade girls. You know, I peeked into the teen room. Good crowd of teenagers in there. You know, we changed rooms and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do if we get too many more in there. But it's awesome to see what God has done. You know, it's awesome to see these classes, and I love looking at seeing the young boys and girls, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, you know, Joel a week or so ago was just testifying on how they memorize scripture. Some of them, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, could quote a Bible verse. That's what it's all about. Boy, I'm so thrilled about that. I'm thrilled about the classes. I'm thrilled about the bus route, the new bus route we started. We have 2 routes now. 2 buses running back all over, you know, one that way, one that way. It was awesome to see what God is doing. I appreciate y'all helping out with the building improvements. Got our window done finally and just the other improvements around here. I appreciate this building. I thank God for what he's done. I love the youth group. How often I say, stop by on a Tuesday once in a while and just see about 12 to 15, sometimes 20 teenagers just excited for Jesus Christ. You know, the youth group is cranking on Tuesday nights in their response to the preaching. You know, you think about it, most of today's teenagers would say, if I'm going to go to church on a Tuesday night to get preached at, I ain't doing it. See, you know what? That room downstairs consistently is filled on Tuesday nights with teenagers that long and desire the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the youth group. I love the fact that our teenagers are involved. We talked about that. Our young people are involved. I mean, let me just say this, teenagers. And of course, it starts with we adults. We lead by example. The teenagers will go ahead and follow suit. And it doesn't stop there, teenagers. You lead by example. These young little ones, the patch of pirate kids, as I affectionately call them, you know what? They're going to follow suit. You know, it's neat when they get to about 5th and 6th grade, how you start hearing some of the kids, Pastor Weeks, can I be a bus worker? Awesome to see that. It's It's awesome to see that. It's awesome to see how they desire to work a bus and be a part. And a lot of it's because of the example of the leadership. A lot of it, they see the teenagers getting excited about serving the Lord. They can't wait till they get to a certain age before they can maybe be a worker in a junior church or a worker on a bus route. And a lot of it's because of the proper example. The adult choir. It's awesome to, I love my choir. I do. I appreciate the choir. I appreciate your hard work. You know, and I'll admit I'm not much of a music man, but I thank God that you just come and sing. It's been awesome. God's given us laborers. Boy, you know, as we've grown, of course, you get more laborers and we're getting more things done for the Lord. You know, God's certainly been good. I think of the missions conference. It's been wonderful. Last 2 years, we've had Steve Hyden right here. But what a man of God he is. And to hear his excursions, if you will, traveling all over the world, we've been able to take him on in the last couple of years and so forth. And I appreciate him. The Deaf Revival this last year. What a wonderful weekend that was. You realize on Sunday, that Sunday morning that Brother Shutt was here, 115 people were here. That was exciting. And boy, you know, you remember, pulpit moved out of the way and the expression and the sign language and different things. Let me tell you something. If that didn't go ahead and move your heart, boy, I tell you, I don't know what will. Seeing God work in a miraculous way and seeing the crowd down front, the crowd of deaf down there and, you know, getting excited. And even we, though, that can hear excited about the messages that were brought. And that Saturday evening, the workers that were involved and the deaf that were here and the lives that were touched. Boy, it certainly was a joy. And I look forward to another Deaf Revival this year. Look forward to another youth rally. This last year we had Brother Teft here for a youth rally. I've got him scheduled to come again this September. You realize on our first youth rally here, now I've had several through the years, we had 80 teenagers here. And again, this is not me or us, it's him. I'm just reiterating that tonight. I'm just kind of chatting with you tonight just to see, you know, it's just awesome to see 82. And then if you saw both invitations, it's nice to see this altar filled almost halfway back with teenagers. It's awesome. And we get the special speakers coming in. We get the music tour groups coming in. It's just wonderful. I look forward to youth conference every year. For my boy, for 10 or 11, 12 years, I don't know, I've lost count. My wife and I, we've taken teenagers to youth conference every single year. A lot of hard work, but it's worth it. And you all have a part in it. It won't be long. It won't be long before these teenagers will be coming. You have anything for me to do? They already have, huh? They've already come to you, I'm sure. But you know what? They're working for that youth conference trip. And let me just say this. It's amazing. You think about the day after they get back. And that Sunday night, they're up here. You know, they're testifying about what God did throughout the week. You know, a lot of our teenagers, a lot of them, if you ask them, what are you going to do in life? A lot of them say, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to whatever the case may be. They want to follow God's will for their life. It's awesome. And a lot of that's as a result of the youth conference and the preaching and the good music that they get and so forth. We've experienced His glory. It has been great to see God moving in our midst right here in this auditorium. Sunday after, you know, how often I'll sit over there in my office and sit back and say, God, I can't believe you're using me. And a lot of you can say the same thing, your Sunday school class. I can't believe this happening. How often I've had some of you come, preacher, I can't believe God's using me in this way. It's exciting though, isn't it? Right here in this auditorium, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, you see the altar filled and you see families praying together and teenagers praying together and the children praying together and men praying together and ladies praying together and altars just full and people just excited. We've experienced giving. God's continued to bless our offerings. Your faithfulness in giving is so evidenced. Money is not the main thing here, but we need money to function and continue to get the gospel out to a lost world. Your financial giving helps us keep them buses rolling. Our mission field. You know, this is our mission field around here. You know, praise the Lord for being able to run two buses. Not many, not, I'll say this, not, I've been a bus man for years. I used to run a larger bus ministry, if you will. But you know, some preachers wouldn't run in a church of size two buses. I thank God for your sacrifice. I thank God that you see the need and say, boy, we got to get that old Betsy, as it's affectionately called around here by many of you. I thank God that you saw the need, say, boy, let's get both of them buses running. Let's do what we can to fill them up. Boy, it's been awesome to see. We support foreign missions. Of course, we took on Brother Heidenreich. We had the privilege of taking on John and Janine Autry this year. Great couple. Brittany's going to be able to go and be a part of their ministry some this summer. Many sacrifice and giving love offerings to many of those in our church who are in need, putting a smile on their face. We've had a wonderful 2 years. Had some wonderful experiences. Some essentials in years to come. What do we need to do to improve the days ahead? Let's look at our text here. In verses number 44 and 45, I'm going to read here. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. We need to continue in our love and compassion for one another. Boy, that ought to be really one of the main driving forces of this church, is to love one another and have a good spirit. Right here is the day of Pentecost. It began with a unity. If you look in the very first couple of verses there, I'll just go ahead and read it. Of course, Peter is the great preacher here, if you will. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, it was not until they got in one accord and unified, all them thousands of people there, and then when they got unified and on the same page, it was then that the Holy Spirit could come in and do something. Boy, they did something great there in the day of Pentecost. And let me just stop and say this. If we're going to continue to have good days ahead, if we're going to see some great days ahead, we need to stay on the same page. Amen? We need to be unified. Yeah, sometimes the decisions may not always be what you like, but the bless God, you know what? We need to be on the same page. We need to keep going forward. We need to keep on serving God. We don't need to be critical of one another. Oh, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. None of that stuff, because once that goes ahead and enters into the church, we won't have the kind of spirit we have here tonight. Let me just say this. Almost 2.5 years technically for us now. Boy, the spirit's still the same, and I appreciate that. And it shows, by the way, your Christianity. Boy, but you know what? But we need to continue in love for one another. We need to go ahead and continue loving one another. One thing that's lacking in society today is love in action. We talk about caring for one another, but our talk needs feet, hands, and a heart. Turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I love this verse, but this is who we ought to be as Christians right here. In Galatians chapter 6, I'll read verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? We need to be that kind of Christian. We need to learn to bear one another's burdens. You know what? You know, if you look at people sometimes, like I do, you know, sometimes, you know, I sit up here and I watch some of the people come in, or I just like to watch my people and just watch people sit in a mall. I'm not a big shopper, but sometimes I just like to sit there and watch some of the most unique people pass by. But let me just stop and say this. I'll use the mall situation. You can tell those that have some joy, but then you can tell by their faces those who are just going through it, generally, by their countenance. You know what? You can tell, and the very best I can, you know, I think I can read people pretty well, but I can generally tell just by your face if there's something up. You know, I worked with teenagers for a long time, and I really got to study teenagers quite well, and I'm trying to learn it more in a broader scope here as a pastor. But you know what? I could tell when one of my teenagers weren't quite right. I could tell if they were getting out of sorts. I could tell literally if they were getting kind of out of whack, because, and by the way, they're easier than an adult church member to do this, but when I saw them get out of whack, I'd say, hey, come into my office. We need to talk a little bit. I sit them down, I talk to them and say, something's up. No, you know, sometimes most of them, no, nothing's up, you know, everything's fine, Brother Sean. Yeah, no, something's up. Your face tells me what's going on. and how often I kind of prod a little bit and pull a little bit. Before you know it, whether it was a guy or girl, how often they, before you knew it, within 5 minutes, they'd be weeping and sobbing and say, you know what? Something is up. You know what? And they got to go ahead and bear their, give me their burdens. And that's what we're supposed to be. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to pray for one another. You know, and when you say, hey, you know what? And when you see someone with a low countenance, boy, you ought to go to them as a Christian and say, hey, listen, is everything okay? And if they don't want to share anything with you, that's fine. But you could at least say, you know what? I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You know, and when you say that to somebody, make sure you do it. Sometimes it's easy to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And then, you know what? 5 minutes later, you forgot all about it. Boy, when you go ahead and you tell someone you pray for them, make sure you do. And sometimes in some situations, boy, if you say I'm going to be praying for you, take time to do it right then. Take time to do it right then. You'll be amazed. You will be amazed how you will reach their heart if in a certain situation. I know not in every situation you can do this, but some situations, if you get them aside and you go ahead and you shake their hand and say, hey, is there everything okay? No, everything's fine. Hey, you know what? I just want you, I'm going to be praying for you. And you could, many of us, at any given time, could go ahead and pray for them right then and there. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how you can reach their heart. But the Bible says, brethren, this kind of Christian we ought to, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, it doesn't say to go ahead and kick him around and say, you're no good. No. Ye which are spiritual. That means, you know, Sunday school teacher, you're a spiritual one. So that means, you know what, instead of kicking them around and saying, well, you're no good, you know, get out of class and whatever. And sometimes they're rowdy, but don't misunderstand me when I say that. But don't just cast them away. You do everything you can as the spiritual one and say, hey, let me help you through this. Let me guide you through this. What can I do for you? Bearing one another's burdens. As a pastor, bearing one another's burdens. As a deacon, bearing one another's burdens. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, turn to that page, that verse. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's all about others. You know, we look at what I can do. Look at the car I drive. Look at the house I live in. Great. Praise the Lord. You know what? You can't take that stuff with you. But you know what? You can have a part in getting others to go where you're going in heaven. You know, you can have a part in lifting up a heavy burden. Bible says, look not on you, but look on the things of others. Help others out. Be a need filler. You see a need, if you can go ahead and do it, be a need filler. You know, how often there are times that I know someone maybe just needs a little bit of gas or just needs a little bit of encouragement. And you know what? Once in a while, I can't do it tonight, but once in a while, you have a $10 bill or whatever, and you know what? Shake hands and just give it to them. Filling a need. You know, and it may be other things. It might be that you know someone's having a hard time and you could just drop by and just drop some groceries off at their doorstep and just leave very quietly. That's being a need filler. It might be that you could just go ahead and sit down. We don't do this much anymore, but sit down. I ought to type it out. But, you know, write out a letter to someone who you know is just hurting, and you know they're hurting. Just write out a letter or type out a letter. In my case, send it out and say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how far that'll go. Pray for them. We need to watch out for one another. That's what I love about the church family. You know, when you're part of a family, you know, mom, dad, junior, and sister, and maybe baby, and dog, and whatever the case may be, you know, cat, God help us, but anyways, but when you got your family, you know, you're a family. You know what a family's supposed to do for each other? It's not supposed to be this, by the way. You know, if you got some issues like that, boy, you ought to deal with that. But you know what a family's supposed to do? You watch out for one another. You know, sibling rivalry, we all see it. You know, it's amazing how sisters or brothers and sisters or whatever can go ahead and verbally fight each other and, you know, this and that, you know, you're stupid, whatever the case may be. But you go ahead and you get somebody else saying that to them. They don't like that. Hey, that's my brother you're talking to. Sister come in. That's my brother. And the boy's back in. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Families watch out for each other. Now let's take it to the church family. Families watch out for each other. Why is it that we'd want to go ahead and use our tongue to go ahead and destroy a family member? My preacher does this a lot. Amen! I don't do it near as good as it. But why would we want to do that? Why would we want to go ahead and take our tongue and go ahead and, you know, the Bible says here in Acts chapter 2, they're in one accord. They're in agreement with each other. You know, and when you're in one accord and when you're got the right spirit, boy, God can do so many wonderful things. But when we got people going ahead, and I don't know if this happening, okay? So don't misunderstand, but we don't want this to happen. But I've seen it happen. I've been in churches. I tell you, I'd be visiting churches, and there are times you could go ahead and cut the air with a knife. Whoa. Just kind of tiptoe and say, let's get the sermon over with, and we just kind of sneak out. I've seen it. And I thank God, and I honestly can say this. I'm not preaching to you right now. I'm telling you the truth. You know what? I don't feel that kind of spirit here. We have a good spirit here. I'm very thankful for that. I appreciate you, and I thank God that I know the Holy Spirit's here every single time we meet, and I know that we have a good spirit amongst each other. But the truth of the matter is, why would we want to go ahead and I'm trying to prevent things, I suppose, here, but why would we want to take our tongue? The Bible says in James, it says a fire, it's a destroyer. Why would we want to go ahead and take our tongue and try to destroy each other? Be critical. Get upset. Why would we want to do that? That's not what a family is all about. Hey, you know, I need to move on. Need to be more concerned for lost souls. The Bible says in verse number 47 in Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, after the dust settled, day of Pentecost, boy, that great day, and people got saved and baptized and so forth, you know, they kept on sowing it. The Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We need to stay concerned for lost souls. We need to keep on searching for lost souls. We need to keep our door knocking. We need to keep our New Testaments handy. We need to keep our tracts available. Do everything we can to get out there and spread the truth, which is what we have. The JWs don't. Amen. They don't have the truth. The Mormons don't have the truth tonight. You say, well, I don't like that, but the truth of the matter is tonight, what I'm saying, we have the truth, amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We don't work our way to heaven. We don't do all these rituals, whatever, to get to heaven. The only way we can get to where God is through Jesus Christ, amen? And we need to be concerned. You know what? Someone was concerned for your soul, and someone showed you from the Bible how you could be saved. Now we need to go ahead and stay in business and reaching the lost souls of men. People are dying and going to hell each and every day. And we around this area, this is our mission field. This is where God has called us. And we need to do everything we can to keep the buses rolling. We need to do everything we can to spend some time out on a Saturday and reaching them little boys and girls and reaching mamas and daddies and reaching this area of Carver and Plymouth and Wareham, all this area that God has entrusted us with. We need to do everything we can to keep on winning souls to Jesus Christ. I love the fellowship, but this church is much more than just fellowship. It's the work of the ministry. You know what? Some of the greatest fellowship I have is the work of the ministry. You know what? You start getting busy, like in the ministries that we have, whether it be a bus route or soul winning Saturday or Thursday or different other times or the EBS. You know what? You know, that's some of the funnest, most greatest fellowship in the world, isn't it? You know, just getting busy with one another. Getting busy with other Christians. Well, we need to be busy, continue reaching the lost souls for the cause of Christ. Our lost family members. Remember your position before Zal. You know what? It'll give you a burning desire to win souls to Christ, if you would just reflect back to where you were before you were saved. You think about before you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You know what? You were headed for hell. All of us are. And if you'd go ahead and you'd think about that, boy, you know what? I think I could take a handful of tracts and pass them out along the way. I think I could show up on a Saturday and go visiting for a little while, or even learn how to go soloing. I think I could take some other day of the week and schedule a time with a preacher or one of the deacons or whatever the case may be and go do a little bit of soul winning. Hey, take the soul winning opportunities. Take the opportunities to reach out to your class, your bus route, Your Sunday school class, you know what? You ought to have in your mind those, of course, right there on that roster tells you those who may not have been around a while. Do everything you can to reach them. Hey, bud, I want you to know I missed you. You know what? That'll speak a lot to that young child. It's one thing for the pastor to do it, and the pastor will and so forth, but you know what? When someone else pays attention, it means a whole lot to that child. It means a whole lot to that teenager, that family. Take the opportunities. Reach out. Go out soul winning. Take some other times and go soul winning. You know what? We need more conviction in the house of God. We must not let up for the preaching of this book right here. Must never let up at the preaching of the Word of God. We must keep on keeping on. We must keep the King James Bible behind this pulpit. We must keep on preaching. It's the preaching that shaped this great nation. We must not let up. And the moment we let up, be the moment that the Holy Spirit lets up on us. We must go ahead and keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. Now, I realize that that conviction is the work of God. But you know what? We can hinder the work of God. We can allow sin, if you will, to come in and hinder God's work in your life even tonight. We might get busy, well, when's this going to get over? You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're sitting here tonight and you're kind of looking at it, when's this going to go ahead and get over? You know what? The Holy Spirit's not going to do one thing with you because all you're thinking about is whatever's going on out there. You know what? I said it this morning. Church doesn't have to be dull to you. Church is dull to the one who doesn't come with an empty cup and say, okay, Lord, fill it. That's who it's dull to. You know what? And I urge you, every time you come to church, whether it be a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, boy, you ought to be on your way, on your drive there. Or when you get up on a Sunday morning, say, okay, God, I need something from you. And let me tell you something. When you have a Christian that desires something from God, they're hungry for the things of God. You know what, church? Church won't be boring to them. And they'll desire to be in the house of God. Boy, you know what? Don't create an atmosphere which the Lord will have a hard time to do his work. Don't create an atmosphere in your life which the Lord will have a hard time to do his work. If there's some sin in your life, well, I urge you, go ahead and deal with it. Don't go ahead and negotiate with God. And I say it a lot, but don't negotiate with God. God, I'll give up this. But yeah, you can't have that. Hey, God wants it all. And if God's going to go do a great work in your life, Christian, if God's going to do a great work in your life, teenager, if God's going to do a great work in your life, mama and daddy, you want God to do a great work in your home, you got to go ahead and deal with the sin problem. Amen. Deal with it. We need to continue to create the right atmosphere. Right here, you see a good atmosphere. In verses number 41 and 42, I'll read, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what? There was a right atmosphere. There was no bad spirit there. They continued doing what was taught them. There's nothing wrong. Listen, let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with talking before the service. Do your fellowship before the service. But let me tell you something. When it gets to the top of the hour, 10:45 or 9:45 or 6:30 or 6 o'clock, whatever service it may be, well, you ought to be ready. You ought to have your empty cup there, and you ought to be right there in your place and settle down the talking, settle down the children, get the children where they ought to be, and have a right atmosphere for God to do something in your life. When the music begins, you ought to be ready for the service. You keep the children quiet so that others can hear. You ought to make your children sit up and listen in church. Amen? It's a good idea to do that. You teach them now. You know what? You teach them now how to sit up and listen in church. Listen to the man of God. Well, keep them up and keep them focused upon the service. It'll prepare them for later. Don't let you not paying attention and whispering keep someone else from hearing the word of God when you get to church. I'm talking about the atmosphere of the service now. You know what, sometimes, we just keep going ahead and talking. You know what, there might be something. Maybe you're not spiritual enough to want it. But what about that one that may be behind you or sitting beside you? Man, they might be unsaved, or they're longing. Boy, the preacher's got their ear and so forth, and they were longing for something, but they missed it because we're this. You know what, that hurts an atmosphere of a service. Boy, we ought to keep the right atmosphere. We ought to keep our children's behavior in check. It would be a shame for our foolish behavior to keep someone from hearing the word of God and getting saved. You know what, by the way, if that's the case, their blood's on your hands. I know you say, well, preacher, you said you're going to chat with us. Well, I'm getting a little carried away here tonight, but we've got to be very careful. I'm talking about our church, and I will talk about the kind of church that we need to maintain. Our attitude ought to be right. If we come prayed up and prepared for God to do something, he might just move in your heart. He'll do something great. You know, why would you want to leave church every week the same way you came? You know why? As I said a moment ago, you know what? It won't be long. If that's the way it is, don't misunderstand me. If that's the way it is, it won't be long before you're out the door. Because you've stopped. Either maybe you've arrived and said, well, I've got it all. You know, none of us have arrived. You know, sometimes we get so high and mighty and so proud, and we're so proud that we're no earthly good or whatever the case. Well, I've heard it all. You haven't. You know, why would we want to go ahead and leave church the same way we came? Let me tell you something. If you come that way week after, it doesn't matter where your spiritual level is, if you will. You know, if that's the way it is, it won't be long before you just be kind of fluttering away. And as your pastor, I don't want that. And I hope and I pray, and well, my heart's desire, you know, is I hope you come and that you leave closer to the Lord. How often I say, pray that we leave here closer than when we, to you, God, than when we came. I hope that you come and you get something and you leave different and you leave excited. I hope that anyways. You know what? You get out of church what you put into it. You know what? If you go just, well, I'm here to fulfill my duty. That's just about as far as it's going to go. But as I mentioned a moment ago, if you come and say, God, give me some nugget of truth. You know, it may be, I know, how the hundreds of sermons we hear every year from me and from other preachers that stand behind this pulpit and maybe other conferences and stuff. You know what? The whole sermon may not always be for you. You may have to pick and choose, kind of buffet it out a little bit, pick and choose. But I guarantee if you come with an open heart, there'll be some truth for you. There'll be some truth. There'll be something that God will show you. There'll be something that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. There'll be some source of encouragement that you needed that you would not have gotten otherwise. Hey, you know what? We need action in our church. You come be determined to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, I worry when we just don't move. Don't misunderstand. I don't want you to go ahead and gratify me by coming forward. No, that's business between you and God. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? It's good to move every so often. You know, be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. If God moves in your heart, boy, move and do something about it and lay it out at the altar and talk to him a little while. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, I'm going to walk around a little bit because I've been walking around, I know that, but I'm going to just use the red mic for just a few minutes. But We're doing fine. But you know what? It might be good. You know, sometimes here's what we do at the altar. We go and maybe we get a little bit emotional and so forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. You come, you do business. But if you're not careful, 5 minutes later when you walk out that door, you forgot all about it. You know, I encourage people, you know, people sometimes think, well, we're in the Northeast, I guess. You know, the altar call shouldn't be too long. You know what? It wouldn't bother me one bit. Wouldn't bother me one bit if people were still at the altar an hour after the service. Wouldn't bother me one bit. Not because of my preaching, but because the Holy Spirit of God did something in your heart and you're doing business. Sometimes we just kind of, Lord Jesus, whatever the case may be, and we just kind of make it quick, but why don't you take your time? Take all the time you need. It might be right there at that altar that the Holy Spirit is trying to heal you and trying to do something and trying to get you to step up to do some bigger and better things. I don't know what it is, but why don't you allow him all the time he needs? Let me tell you something. The world gets all kinds of time. But why don't you allow him at the altar? And I'm not saying this particular altar call or next particular, but when he does something, when the Holy Spirit does something in your heart, don't just, well, I'll go ahead and deal with it later. You know what? Later generally doesn't come. Sometimes we sit there, I've been there. I'm testifying a minute. Sometimes you sit there and, you know, the preacher's preaching and maybe you just got a golden nugget, but you know there was something that the Holy Spirit was still dealing with, and that golden truth, that one truth that the preacher hit, that the Holy Spirit hit through the preaching of the Word of God, boy, it affected you, and you say, well, you know what, and you sit there and you kind of grip the front of your chair at altar call and so forth, and the truth of the matter is you know you should have gone ahead, but you say, I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. Remember when I was called, well, when I got my heart right with God at youth conference 1994, just a couple years ago, by the way. I remember, boy, I was just a chaperone. I remember Brother Howell's preaching. Boy, that first sermon on that Wednesday night of youth conference, boy, it was like, man, he was just shooting right at me. And I go, what in the world? Little did I know, it was not Brother Howell's, it was the Holy Spirit. And all week long, every sermon, you know, from Brother Howes or Brother Scomp and others that preached that year, you know, man, it was like, man, they're shooting right at me. Oh, get up my guard. I remember God, boy, all week long, and one of them nights, I couldn't sleep, and it wasn't because I had a bunch of teenagers in my room. I just couldn't sleep. It was the last night we were there. And I remember just God was just dealing with my heart, and you know, I knew I had to do something, but I just kept on, you know. We were getting ready to buy a house back in Maine. You know, things were going really good. It's during one of the spells that I quit college and so forth. And I just said, okay, you know, I'm serving God in church. I'm fine. I'm a layman. I'm doing great. And we were just didn't sign any papers, binding papers, but we had looked at a house a day or two before we were getting ready to go to youth conference. And boy, we were excited to come back and sign them papers and buy our first home and so forth. But I remember all week long, them 3 or 4 days, the Holy Spirit just kept on working me over. That last sermon, Brother Howes got up. Last sermon, Brother Howes, of course, he preached the last sermon as he always did at youth conference and just tore it up as he did. And that altar call went long. I mean, I tell you, boy, teenagers and even adults and chaperones, all kinds of people were going forward and many getting right with God. You could see, you could hear the crying and the blubbering and all that was going on, and people getting, some were getting saved even, and some were called to preach, and you know, chaperones were being called to preach, adult, I mean, it was just for everybody. I mean, just so much was going on, and the invitation kept on going on, and boy, I tell you, I was getting uncomfortable sitting up in this balcony over here, just getting uncomfortable. And I remember sitting there in the altar call, and Brother Howell stops the music every so often. He just stopped the music. And I'm not saying he was pointing to me, but he says, somebody up in this balcony better get right with God and get down here right now. And I just looked around. Boy, somebody up here better get right with God. And that's exactly what I said. I would just say, let's get this thing over with. Let's get on the bus. Let's head home. Let me go by my house. But you know what? Once the music started, after he said that, and again, there were several others that went down at that time, but I felt like, man, the Holy Spirit had my number. I'll never forget, boy, you know, you never saw a fat boy run so fast in his life. I wasn't so fat then. I was 24 years old, fit and trim. But when that music started after he said that, I barreled it down there, and I just wept and wept and wept and wept and wept. I said, okay, God, I'll burn my bridges. And I stayed there for a while. Stayed there for quite a little while. I didn't rush back, and I remember going back and telling my wife, and I remember going back and telling the leaders of the trip, Brother Turner, and said, you know, I got to come back to college. I got to go ahead. I'm going to give up all my dreams. I'm going to burn my bridges, and I got right with God. You know, that's what the altar's for. That's what the preaching's for. The preaching goes ahead and touches your heart. Whatever service, do something about it. Don't just say, I'll deal with it later. Boy, let the conviction of God just do something. We need more confession. We need to keep short accounts with God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep short accounts with God. Keep that familiar path to the altar. You know, you know where you sit most of the time, unless if a visitor sits there, and don't get upset at the visitor, amen, okay, don't worry about it, but you know what, most of the time, you know where you sit, you know, there ought to be a familiar path from your place to the altar, you just doing some business with God. Keep short accounts with him. I must keep moving. We need more commitment to the service of Christ. You know, in Acts here, they continued in a good spirit to get the job done for God. They were in a good spirit. We talked about that. But you know what? Let me just say this. Be obligated to what you said yes to. You know, I've always been of the notion that if my preacher, and don't take this the wrong way, but oftentimes if my preacher, if I could do it, if I knew it was doable, if my preacher believed in me that I could do a certain job, I thought, there's something to that. How often you'll get me or some of the leadership to come to you and say, you know, if you say yes to something, fulfill it. You know, you know what we need? If we're going to go ahead and reach the next generation for the cause of Christ, you know what? We need to be committed. We need to be committed to the cause of Christ. If you say yes, be good for your word. Say, yeah, I can do that. I'll go ahead and fulfill that. Whatever the case may be, if it's a bus route, if it's driving a bus, if it's choir, if it's an usher, if it's nursery, if it's a Sunday school teacher, if you said, yeah, I'll do it, do it. Do it. You know, be committed. Be committed to that ministry. Be committed to them children or them folks that God has given you. You know, people say, well, you know, especially as a Sunday school teacher, some Sunday school teacher, well, my job's not that big. Yeah, it is big. It's huge. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed when someone, and I've dealt with workers in different ministries all through the years. You'll be amazed when someone doesn't show up. Where's Brother So-and-so, Brother Sean? Brother Sean, where's Brother So-and-so? Where's Miss So-and-so? You know what that tells me? And how often they have, you know what that tells me? They miss you. You left an impact in their life. Truth of the matter is, you left an impact in their life that I can't fill. You can, because you're there for them. Boy, be committed. Be committed in the pews. Be committed in the prayer closet. Be committed in the ministry. Let's just keep on rolling up our sleeves and going to work. Hey, you know, I talked just a little while. I'm done. I just kind of chat with you tonight, and I know maybe some things seem a little bit tough, but you know, listen to me. I'm your pastor, and I love you. I feel like, I'll admit, you know, back a few months ago, Miss Ruth, you said something that just, and I thought the same thing, felt like a momentum. I feel like, and she made a statement like this, I feel like something good's about to happen. Remember that? Okay, sorry if I brought you up in church, but you can slap me around later. But when she said that, you know, the truth of the matter is, days before, I felt the same way. I still feel like something good's about to happen. You know, God has been so good. God has been so good to us. Think of your family. A lot of families here tonight. Moms and dads, what a treasure you have sitting beside you. Say, well, I don't have any children. No, you know what? But you have a part of them kids' lives. I don't work that, you know, I don't do a whole lot. Hey, you know what? If you're here and you're praying and you're in your pew, that's big. Hey, listen, you know, listen. I just kind of talk to you, I know. But God's been good. You know, I got to just read a verse here, and this is my last thought here. You know, the Bible says this. In Acts chapter 2, and let me just read 46 and 47. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were of one mind. They were in agreement, okay? Breaking bread and from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were happy. They were, like I said, of one mind, praising God. They were excited. But God was blessing, and they were excited and having favor with all the people. You know, they saw the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem and there. They saw that. The community went ahead and said, boy, there's something going on down there. Boy, there's joy and there's excitement. They had favor with all of that. Let's talk about the community. That's what I see of that. Anyway, let's talk about the community. You know, being pastor in Carver, you know, you go to the post office, different places, and sometimes I'll introduce myself here and there, whatever. You know what? You got some stuff going on down there. They'll say that. How often I'll hear that? Drive by and cars out in the parking lot, go by there on May 31st, and you see back last year, walkers were here and everything going on and so forth. You know, hey, you had a carnival there last year. How often you hear people, boy, you got something going on. Fella just drove by, stopped here in church a week or two ago, Sunday morning. Actually, this has happened twice in the last 2 months. I drove by. It looked like something was going on at this church, so I came. You know, the community sees it. Again, it's not our glory. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's not for us to go ahead and get another notch in our belts. It's not for us to go ahead, hey, look at what I... That's all hogwash. That's trash. It's all for the glory of God. God's been good. Church, I would just want to encourage you. Let's be of one mind. Use our tongue to edify one another, build up one another, love one another. Let's bear one another's burdens. Let's continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, if you will. You know what? They kept on preaching. They kept on teaching. Let's keep on continuing on what we know is right around here. And you know what? God will bless. And God's going to continue to bless. Our Heavenly Father, we do love You, and we thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your word, Lord. I just preached a little while. Just chat with my people whom I love so very much. And Lord, I hope it was a help. I know it was a help to me as I was just really jotting some things down as we went, as You were just kind of dealing with my heart about some things. Lord, You know, the book of Acts is just so many truths there on how You're teaching us how to run a New Testament Baptist church. And I pray, dear God, that we will... we'll do our very best, that we'll always maintain, just do what You want us to do here. I pray we'll continue our soul winning, step it up even more. I pray that we'll have a burden for souls. I pray that we'll stay of one mind and keep our tongue loving and edifying one another and building up people and bearing other people's burdens. I pray that we just, bottom line is, just be the Christians that we ought to be, being Christ-like. I pray, Lord, You'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm just going to say a whole lot about this, but maybe here tonight you say, you know, preacher, I'm here tonight. I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm going to say a whole lot about it. But you know what? Let me just stop and say this. You can know. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If you're here tonight and you got that empty feeling, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure. If I was to breathe my last breath, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. And maybe you've been trusting in good works. Maybe you've been trusting in some other religious experience. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is God's way. If you're here tonight, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but, you know, I'd like to know. If you would just, and I will not embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that? Maybe here tonight, church, I just trust I'm just speaking to the church right now. Maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe there's some few issues in your life that God just, the Holy Spirit just revealed to you. Maybe the beginning of a critical tongue. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you just getting kind of out of whack. Maybe the Lord wants you to maybe step up in soul winning or passing out track. I don't know what it is. But if God's dealing with your heart tonight, I urge you, use an altar, take all the time you need, and do business with God. Now, Lord, I pray You'd bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Our heads about, okay, got one. All right. Anyways, okay, that joke just still gets worse and it goes down over. But anyways, boy, wonderful day today. Church, boy, looking forward to Wednesday night. Teaching on the book of Proverbs. We'll be there a long time, but I hope it'll be helpful to you. And be here Wednesday night, 6:30, Patch the Pirate, 6:30 Wednesday evening Bible study. And let's see, Brother Robles, won't you come on up here? And he'll make his way up and he'll close in prayer. Anybody have a good word for the Lord yet? Anybody? Maybe you didn't say anything yet. Anybody have a testimony? Yes. I'll pray for Brittany tomorrow. She's going to get her wisdom teeth pulled out. All right. So she's going to lose some wisdom tomorrow. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a bad joke too. Anyways, I can't win. But yeah, pray for Brittany tomorrow. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything you want to say yet? Anybody? Anybody? Any good word for the Lord? Yes. Good. Yeah. We'll be praying for you. Amen, James. Thanks. Let me just say that, what's that? Again, church, I can't say it enough. You know what? When you see visitors and when you see people here, make sure you greet them. All right, make sure you get over there, and maybe during handshake, if you miss them at handshaking, don't let them leave without you shaking their hand, okay? And anyways, all right, you heard enough of me, so Brother Robles, let them hear from you as you close in prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight's message, state of our church, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful to hear that it's a joyful one and one in unity and fellowship. And Heavenly Father, keep us in that spirit. Lord, don't let Satan try to, Lord, extinguish the light that is gone from this place. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you keep us in your will. Lord, we pray for James tonight. Keep him, Lord. Strengthen him in his struggles. May he find strength and comfort in your word, Lord. And as he grows in it, sees that he has the weapons, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are, Lord, mighty to the breaking down of strongholds. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you've given that strength and that power. Give everyone that strength and that power today. Help us, Heavenly Father, through the challenges of this week to look to you, to be strengthened in you, and to follow you faithfully, Lord, to be here again on Wednesday night, to enjoy the fellowship and the strengthening of your word, that you may be glorified in your church. For your glory is all that is done, is all that is said. In Jesus' name, amen.